Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. Make sure to head over to timcast.com, click join us, and become a member to support our work directly, because this show is made possible thanks in part to viewers like you. If you like the work we do, become a member, and you'll also get access to uncensored, members-only shows from Timcast IRL, Monday through Thursday at 10 p.m. You can also join our Discord server and talk with like-minded individuals. Now, let's get into that first story. The House has passed the bill, which will see TikTok banned in these United States unless they divest from their Chinese counterpart and sell to an American company. Now we are seeing quite a bit of acrimonious debate on Twitter. You've got Thomas Massey, for instance, saying this is a Trojan horse. It's a bad idea. Many people are saying this will be used to censor us, to ban Rumble and X. I find it fascinating. For the longest time, many on the right were in favor of a ban on TikTok, primarily because, well, they are taking our data, but that's not the biggest issue, in my opinion. The biggest issue is that a Chinese-controlled company is manipulating the youth of the United States and sending them things like Dylan Mulvaney. And there's a reason why Dylan Mulvaney is doing appearances with Lady Gaga, because TikTok is making it possible. I believe there's something like they claim 170 million users in the U.S. or something like that. I don't know that that's true, but, you know, they might count me, for instance, as a user because we have an account. Here's what I think. I will read the bill for you. I'll show you the news. TikTok is not yet banned. The House has approved the bill. They voted yes. It will now go to the Senate. But we are seeing Senate leadership saying, or I should say, one of their committees expressing favor towards this ban. And Joe Biden has already said he will sign it. Okay. I do find it funny that for the longest time, Republicans were in favor of this. Trump has now come out against the ban, which is interesting. Biden's for it. Perhaps Trump is hoping to earn some Gen Z votes. I don't understand the arguments from the likes of Thomas Massey and many of the people on the right saying it will be used to ban Rumble and X. I read the text of the bill. Nowhere does that actually happen. And I'm quite frustrated with this incessant, no matter what action we take against those who are causing us problems, it is always going to be bad and abused by the government. I am just absolutely sick of it. Literally any time. First of all, Republicans barely ever do anything ever. And they're saying it's a bipartisan bill now. Sure, Democrats want to indoctrinate you through Facebook, you know, Instagram and YouTube. And the right wants free speech. As I often mention, that the right is always arguing the moderate position. Both Republicans and Democrats are concerned that, well, look, we might not like each other, but China is substantially worse. Tom Cotton, of course, saying, look at how the Chinese ministry is reacting to the news that the U.S. could ban TikTok. In my opinion, TikTok should be banned or sold. Rumble has put in an offer to buy TikTok, and I believe this is the right move, but it doesn't solve all the problems. We don't want a foreign adversary like China running these apps and having control or back-end control in the end. And an American company isn't necessarily the best outcome, but if done right, it could be. Rumble operating TikTok would be the biggest win ever. Of course, If TikTok moves to the US, it likely will face, you know, I don't know that Rumble could actually afford to compete with the likes of Google or Facebook. But I do not accept the simple argument that we shouldn't allow this bill because it'll ban Rumble and X. No, it won't. I'll read you the bill. I don't see that anywhere in there. I don't understand what this argument is. And they say, yes, but then TikTok will be run by Facebook instead of China. Okay, that's still bad, but it's not nearly as bad as China doing it. China, as the principal behind TikTok, has produced algorithms that have made young people psychotic. And I hear people say all the time, no, Tim, TikTok is better. I don't believe that's true for a minute. We use TikTok. We were banned from TikTok. I got to tell you, the worst censorship we at Timcast have ever experienced as milquetoast moderates comes from TikTok. Facebook and TikTok are so bad. But TikTok is worse. YouTube's actually not as bad. Rumble and X are the best. I think Rumble is probably the best, to be completely honest. But what I see is here's what happened. We put up on TikTok a clip from a show where someone mentioned we have stats on depression in women. And the cohort, the demographic, female demographic that has the highest rate of depression is working women. For that, we were permabanned off TikTok. And it's not the first time. The funny thing is, we've gotten like strikes. And the way the system works is they'll give you a strike and then the strike disappears. It doesn't really mean much, but they suspend you for a minute. And then when they ban you, you make a new account. We've gotten strikes for other innocuous things. And we have no idea what crosses the line. But having a foreign country moderate this means we have zero recourse. Zero at all. At the very least, an American-owned company faces scrutiny. At the very least. Certainly, we had the CEO of TikTok before Congress, and he kept saying, I'm Singaporean. I don't know what you're talking about. He works for a Chinese firm. He led investment into many Chinese firms. I don't care that he's Singaporean. Here's the news, and let me show you the bill. Wall Street Journal says the House voted 352 to 65 to approve a bill on Wednesday that would ban TikTok from operating in the U.S. or force a sale, with lawmakers largely shrugging off a last-minute lobbying push by the Beijing-owned service and setting the stage for a final showdown in the Senate in the spring. I'd like to point out, Instagram is pretty bad and Facebook is pretty bad, but we have tons of clips that TikTok has removed that are fine on Instagram. I think that's an important point. Like, I'll take what I can get. If it's an American-run company, at least we can assert pressure over it. We can't with TikTok. The popular short video app has faced scrutiny for the way its algorithm works to select content for users, both on sensitive issues like teen depression, as well as contentious global debates like the Israel-Hamas war. U.S. officials say TikTok's Chinese ownership potentially gives Beijing a way to both collect data on Americans and influence public opinion, driving years of effort to crack down on the app and culminating in the new legislation. All right. So we have the video here. I'll play the quick 20-second video for you guys and 21 seconds. Some people are arguing that the reason Congress decided to ban it now is because of Israel-Palestine, but here you go.
On this vote, the yeas are 352, the nays are 65. One present, two-thirds being in the affirmative. The rules are suspended. The bill is passed. And without the objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
Next thing, it will go to the Senate. We have Jake Sherman. He says, the two top senators on Senate Intel are now supporting the TikTok bill. This is a massive coup for lawmakers who want ByteDance to divest its holding in TikTok. Senate Intel Chair Mark Warner, a Democrat, and Vice Chair Marco Rubio, Republican, endorsed the House-passed TikTok bill. We were encouraged by today's strong bipartisan vote and look forward to working together to get this bill passed. You know, let me make sure I want to clear some things up so everyone understands. TikTok has a Chinese counterpart called Douyin. TikTok is banned in China. So they don't have TikTok. They have Douyin. It's the same thing, but it's different. Why? Because TikTok is poison. TikTok is intentionally sending mind-shattering videos to children. And there's tons of videos from people on TikTok being like, yo, I don't Google search these things. Why are they being sent to me? I'm not kidding. Look up algorithm arguments TikTok. They're like, one day I pulled up my TikTok and I was getting all of these weird videos. They want to manipulate young people. We talk about Yuri Bezmenov all the time. how the communists want to go after the kids and they say that they're infiltrating. Dude, this is what TikTok is doing. I'm not saying we have a perfect answer right now, but I'm seeing, you know, a lot of people on the right, you know, people that I respect and trust saying like, no, just parent your kids better. And I'm like, sure, I agree with that. But there are limits, right? Like when China is sending fentanyl and other drugs to the southern border, many of these same people are like, this is bad. China's poisoning us. But when China uses digital fentanyl, people are like, well, you know, hold on. So no. ByteDance is a Chinese a company. It's a Chinese short form video hosting service. The CEO, Chou Zi, I think his name is that his name right? Chu being, of course, the last name. I don't know, whatever. He's like, I'm Singaporean when Tom Cotton asks him over and over again. No, I'm Singaporean, TikTok CEO, which is not even the question. It's a manipulation. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. I have the bill for you right here, HR 7521. Titled, Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. Before I show you this, I want to pull up this tweet from Thomas Massey. He says, the so-called TikTok ban is a Trojan horse. The president, will be given the power to ban websites, not just apps. The person breaking the new law is deemed to be a U.S. internet hosting service or app store, not the foreign adversary. How is that a Trojan horse? It's literally telling you what they said it was going to do. If you are an American service providing hosting to a foreign adversary controlled app, then you will have to pay a fine. The law is for America. What are they going to do? We hereby hold China to be illegally running an app. Okay, what? That makes no sense. It is, of course, in the United States, those who are hosting it, which means if the app still exists, its servers are outside the United States, you can still use it. It just can't be hosted by the App Store or hosted by American servers or U.S. interest servers. So I don't know. I don't agree with this, but let me read the bill for you. It's not that long, but I'll give you the breakdown. I do think there are some concerns. Don't get me wrong. But I believe that there are many people on the right who are overhyping and lying about what this bill does, largely because they did not read it. I think there's a ripple effect happening where one person says they could use this to ban Rumble. And then you read it and it's like, actually, they couldn't. Look, if they're going to ban Rumble or X, there's a lot of things they could do already to ban Rumble or X. The deep state could send a national security letter to a company and shut them down instantly. You don't need this bill to do it. There was an email service and they received a national security letter and they said, we refuse to comply and shut down. This was a huge story. I believe it was pertaining to Edward Snowden. They wanted his information. If the deep state intel agencies want to shut down an American company, they can do it instantly. You don't need this bill to do it. What this bill could do, allow them to shut down TikTok instantly because they can't do that right now. Let me read. Prohibition of foreign adversary controlled applications. It shall be unlawful for an entity to distribute, maintain, update, or enable the distribution, maintenance, or updating of a foreign adversary controlled application by carrying out within the land or maritime borders of the U.S. any of the following. Providing services to distribute, maintain, or update if such foreign adversary controlled application. We get it. Providing internet hosting services to them for those purposes. We get it. Applicability. As is the case, I'm going to read it quickly. I'm going to paraphrase. It says, once this is signed into law by the president, you have 180 days to divest from these foreign adversaries. That's even being generous. They could just be like, nah, you're banned. No, but they're not. They're like, no, just divest and don't operate from China. This means that Chinese interests could use subsidiaries through Singapore or, I don't know, Africa, Nairobi, and then the app still operates. In the case of an application that satisfies the definition, yada, yada, data and information portability to alternative applications before the date on which prohibition applies a foreign adversary controlled application, the entity that owns or controls such an application shall provide upon request by a user of such an application within the land of, or maritime borders of the U.S. to such users all data related to their account, which I agree with. I think everyone would. You go to TikTok and say, give me my data. They have to say yes. Exemptions for qualified divestitures. This is where they're saying, if TikTok divests from China, you're fine. Exemptions for certain necessary services. Subsections A and B do not apply to services provided with respect to a foreign adversary controlled application that are necessary for an entity to attain compliance with such subsections. Meaning, I mean, that one's just fairly mundane and obvious. If you're trying to comply, then we're okay with what you're doing. Civil penalties, you'll get fined $5,000 times the number of users for violating the law. Data and information is $500 times the number of users for violating this law. Actions by attorney general shall conduct investigations, blah, 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 severability, subsequent determinations. We get it. We get it. We get it. This is legalese stuff. To authorize the attorney general to pursue enforcement. We get it. Here we go. Definitions. So now we know that if you're a foreign, what does it mean you're foreign adversary controlled? I'll tell you. The term controlled by a foreign adversary means with respect to a covered company or other entity that such company or other entity is a foreign person that is domiciled in, headquartered in, has a principal place of business in, or is organized under the laws of a foreign adversary country, an entity with respect to which a foreign person or combination of foreign persons described in subparagraph A directly or indirectly own at least 20%, a person subject to the direction or control of a foreign person or entity, blah, blah, blah. This is the only provision I think we should be paying attention to. If they make a determination in Congress or through the attorney general that a person is operating under the control of a foreign entity, this is the big issue we have right now. This should be amended by the Senate. And what would we say we should be saying right now is section G, subsection C should be amended. This one goes too far. Totally agree. They'll come out and they'll say Donald Trump is an agent of Russia. Therefore, Truth Social is banned. I don't think it would be that simple, but this is the one that people aren't actually bringing up, which is funny. Now, what is a covered company? They say it's got to have at least a million monthly active users. Okay. So here we go. The term covered company means an entity that operates directly or indirectly through a parent company or otherwise, a website, desktop application, mobile application, or augmented or immersive technology application that, one, permits a user to create an account or profile to generate, share, or view text images, has more than a million monthly active users with respect to at least two or three of the months preceding the date, enables one or more users to generate and distribute content, enables one or more users to view content. That means if there's a news website in Iran, it's fine. Exclusion. The term covered company does not include an entity that operates a website, application for the purpose of business reviews, travel information, etc., which makes sense. If you're a travel review website where people want to post like, I went to this country, here's what happened, I understand that. That is an interesting exclusion. All right. So they specifically say foreign adversary controlled application. What does it mean? Any of ByteDance, LTD, TikTok, a subsidiary or successor of these companies, an entity owned or controlled by those companies, or a company that is controlled by a foreign adversary and that is determined by the president to present a significant threat to national security of the United States following the issuance of a public notice proposing a determination and a public report to Congress submitted not less than 30 days before such determination describing the specific national security concern involved. Now, the president can't just bang the gavel. There is a process. It's weak. I can respect that. These are not necessarily good things. But it goes on to say, what is a foreign adversary controlled company? As defined by this particular law, this is section 4872D2 of Title 10 U.S. Code, the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea, the People's Republic of China, the Russian Federation, and the Islamic Republic of Iran. Now, at first, I thought this might cover Telegram, but Telegram is operated out of the British Isles and Dubai, and it would not fall under this. They go on to mention to define source code and what these things mean. They go on to mention judicial review. The only concern this bill that I have with this bill is section G, subsection C, a person subject to the direction or control of a foreign person or entity described in sub. If they said, how do you define control? They are paid by this person. Fine. That's what I think they're trying to get at, because the CEO of TikTok is Singaporean, and that's what he kept saying. But I think there should be some limiting factors here, which would be an amendment from the Senate. House, I believe, would have to approve that basically says what we mean by this, because right now they'll argue Elon Musk is secretly working for Russia, therefore X. That's what they could do. I do not believe it is fair to say outright that this would absolutely ban Rumble or X, or could be used to go after Rumble or X. I'm so sick of this hyperbolic nonsense. Okay. Some people say it's free speech. Disagree. I do not believe the United States should uphold the free speech of foreign entities within its borders affecting its youth. That's insane. Imagine Yuri Bezmenov sits down and he says, the communists are going to try and infiltrate this country by targeting your youth. And you go, wow, but that's free speech, I guess. Yes, in this country, it is free speech. But for China to operate an app that is sending the likes of Dylan Mulvaney to children and increasing rates of depression, okay, I do not accept this. The algorithm is not free speech. It's an absurd argument. Section 230 has its absurdities. There's some good things about it, but this idea that massive corporations, even to this degree, the idea that Facebook has the free speech right to publish through their algorithm to target young people and send them specific information, I think is an absurdity. Perhaps the real law that needs to be passed is locking the algorithms, opening the code. Someone did tweet this, and I respond, it's a good start. They said, instead of banning TikTok, we should force them to open their source code so we can all see what their algorithm is. The only problem is there's no enforcement action for them explicitly saying they're coming after us. To be fair, it's a good start. If we expose the source code for their algorithm, we can then see, hey, look at what they're promoting. They're targeting kids with mind-bending garbage to break them and cause depression and self-harm. Then people are going to say, okay, ban the app. Here's what I'm bothered by. A foreign country is operating an app in this country that is doing exactly what Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter had been doing. But at the very least, when it came to these U.S. companies, we've got FOIA requests and we are breaking them apart. We are exposing them. I don't mean breaking apart like antitrust. I'm saying we know that the government was doing these things and we have access to this information. Why would we give a shield to a Chinese company? We can't FOIA them. We can't go after them. Not in the same way. And they can easily obfuscate their goals, desires, and what they're doing with this app. I say force them to operate in the United States. And people are like, yeah, but then, you know, then they're going to use American manipulation on us. And I'm like, I will gladly take American leftist indoctrination over Chinese communist indoctrination. Not that there's a very big difference, to be completely honest, but at the very least, it gives us the ability to look at the data to actually try to go after him. Should Donald Trump become president, what could he do about TikTok? He's going to do the same thing. We pass a bill like this. We make sure we get proper amendments and restrictions. And when Donald Trump is president, then he'll be able to say, here's what TikTok is doing. Now, Trump, of course, came out and said it's absurd to ban TikTok, but this bill doesn't ban TikTok. It's to force their divestment from China. The ban is the big ask. The result, divestment. So China, they're freaking out. They're pissed off because they make money from this stuff and it gives them control and political power. What will end up happening is they'll get their cash. It's not even a seizure of the app. Imagine if the bill says the United States government hereby seizes TikTok and will operate within its borders. Not even doing that. They're saying, we're going to, you know, divest, make your money, get paid, but have an American company run it. Let's get Rumble to run it. Now, the fascinating thing is, even with subsection C, which I mentioned, where it says a person subject to the direction or control of a foreign person, all any company would have to do is divest from the individual, which is bad because they could say Elon Musk works for Russia. He has to sell X. That is bad. And perhaps they might do it. It's not going to be easy. I really don't think Congress can barely get anything done. What this does is create a timeline to force TikTok to divest from China. It will likely still operate. I think it'll clean up a lot of the busted rules. I don't think things will improve dramatically, but I believe it's a good start. I don't believe this bill will result in Elon Musk getting banned. You can take any bill or any attempt to do anything and then scream bad thing over and over and over again. And then nothing gets done ever. We know TikTok is bad. We know it's poisoning kids. And here it's like we have an opportunity. But then all of a sudden, once again, everyone on the right says, no, quick, do nothing. Okay, I present you the alternative. We do nothing. China keeps sending Dylan Mulvaney to young people. Congratulations. Maybe that's what Republicans want, I guess. I don't know. Make Democrats look crazy. I certainly think the bill can be cleaned up. I have issues with Section C. That's about it. But it still is a bit of a stretch for them to just blanket claim Elon Musk works for Russia. You would have to prove it. But here's the issue. If they wanted to, they could do that now. All this does is codify TikTok and foreign adversary-controlled apps and websites must divest. So sure, there are issues. But based on the language and reading through this, I think they're overreacting or exaggerating as to what will likely come from this. And it's insane to me. Anytime, nothing ever gets done. And now we actually have action being taken against TikTok explicitly because Democrats are angry. What happens basically is Democrats and Republicans are upset that TikTok has been showing pro-Palestine videos and indoctrinating young people to be in favor of Gaza. And now the U.S. is like, wait, we like Israel. So this is the issue. A U.S. ally, the U.S. is supporting, the U.S. wants to win, is now they care. I tell you what will happen. Likely what will happen should TikTok divest, you'll instantly see a lot of these pro-Palestine videos probably subside. They'll still exist. People will be allowed to share them. But people are reporting on TikTok that whether they don't care about the stuff. It's like one woman's like, I do makeup and all of a sudden all I'm seeing is Palestine. That's why Congress is acting this way. I'm not saying I'm a big fan of Israel. They have a right to defend themselves. Sure. I'm mostly a I don't care about foreign wars and don't think we should be involved kind of person. But comment below. Let me know what you think. I am not so terrified of this. And that's just it. There could be some fixes. Let's get those fixes. We'll see what happens. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 4 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. I don't really think it needs to be said that Donald Trump has won the Republican nomination by clinching the delegate majority. It seems kind of like, you know, we already know this. Joe Biden has secured the Democrat nomination. Donald Trump has now secured the Republican nomination. But I do feel it's still kind of an obligation to give you the latest milestone in the 2024 race, despite the fact we know where this is going. That's the big news. Donald Trump clinches delegate majority for GOP nomination. NBC News projects setting up Biden rematch. President Joe Biden clinched the Democratic nomination with a delegate majority earlier Tuesday night. NBC News projects. You don't really need much of a story to break this down. But what I do see as being interesting here is what we can expect in November. And right now, you got a couple stories pertaining to the election that I think are relevant. Elon Musk posting a clip, I believe it's from August of 2023, where Joe Rogan says he's basically going to be voting for Donald Trump. Now, I don't think Rogan has ever come out explicitly saying, Donald Trump is my candidate, I will be voting for Donald Trump. But he's effectively said this, and we'll play the clip. He also jokingly said, and I don't even know if it was jokingly, it was like a half joke, something about if you want to save the country, vote Republican. And talking about there's a reason why so many people have switched from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party. But most importantly, Gen Z. Now, a lot of people rag on Gen Z and older people. It's wrong. It's millennials. You have a problem with millennials are the lost generation. Millennials are the woke. They're the people leading these companies to bankruptcy. They are the ones who don't want to work. And I'm not saying that all of Gen Z is based or good, but Gen Z overwhelmingly is realizing what's going on. There was this poll that asked individuals of each generation how much money they would need to be happy. And Silent Generation said, you know, 100K. I don't know. Boomers said, I don't know, 100K. Gen X said, probably 100K. Gen Z, you notice I skipped the millennials, said probably 100K. And millennials said 500,000. Wow. Something is up with millennials. Something is up. Perhaps this lost generation, which emerged in the, it could be the early stages of social media algorithms, created this warped generation. I'm a millennial. I'm allowed to say it. You know, I can brag on my own generation. Not every millennial is bad. There's a handful of good ones. Vivek Ramaswamy, for instance, is a millennial. I'm a millennial. There are good millennials. But Gen Z is pretty based. And it's fascinating when we see this is a group of people that have experienced the worst of millennial excesses and laziness and entitlement. You know, Gen Z, as I often say, is supposed to inherit the system. We every generation does. It's a fascinating experience, truth be told, this point in my life when it really is kind of wild. It gets easy. It really does. Not easy in terms of like you can sail through life. I'm saying generally speaking, on average, life gets easier for the average person. What I mean to say is not everybody is going to experience this. Some people's lives will get a lot harder, but typically as you start to get older and you become those who are running the system, then maybe easier isn't the right word. You get more control and you know, more leeway, though things could end up being a big challenge, especially, you know, it's not always easy to be in a leadership position. Gen Z is not getting this. We talked last night on Timcast IRL about how We're in a gerontocracy, Kurt Mills called it. I believe he said gerontocracy. Rule by the old. They refuse to give up power. And I think Gen Z is bearing the worst of this. So the silent generation, typically their kids are Gen Xers. But there's an overlap. So, you know, some silent generation had boomer parents. Some boomers had Gen Xers. But for the most part, it's like silent is Gen X. Boomers have millennials. And here we are. Gen Xers, I think Gen X is truly the lost generation. And it's the reason I say that is because they're mostly fine. Mostly fine. For real. Boomers, a lot of great boomers. Mad respect. You know what I mean? They made Star Trek The Next Generation. So I will always deeply respect a lot of what boomers have done. But there's this circular logic. Boomers treat millennials like children. Gen X is kind of just ignored because I got to be honest, Gen Xers, y'all are pretty much okay, for real. You work, you live, you do your thing, and it's kind of, okay, well, you know, you're fine. You're not really ragging on anybody. You're getting by. But boomers treat millennials like children. Even a few years ago, there was this really funny article that said something like, why are our millennials doing this or whatever? And a bunch of millennials were tweeting like, we're 40. We're 40 years old. Stop treating us like we are children. But the reality is many of these millennials deserve to be treated like children. And whose fault is it? Man, I don't know. Society, I guess. So what ends up happening now, in my view, younger people in Gen Z are looking at the failures of millennials and realizing, you know, there's an odd man out here. You look at the silent generation. Sure, they've got their problems, but they worked. They did their thing. You've got the boomer generation. And yeah, sure, they work, but they got their problems. And you've got millennials who seem to be overwhelmingly entitled, lazy, overly woke, easily offended, easily agitated. And I think a lot of Gen Z see that and they're just like, someone sticks out. And what ends up happening, I guess, is Gen Z becomes more based. So as we begin to predict what may happen, and I want to show you that Rogan clip, I do want to point this out from Newsweek. Gen Z loves Donald Trump more than any other age group. Are you kidding me? Donald Trump is, I believe he's a boomer. He's an early boomer. We went over this last night. Let me grab Donald Trump's birthday. I think it was, what was his birthday? Was it 46, which means he's the first year of being a boomer. So he's a very early boomer. That's funny, right? I thought, you know, he'd be silent, but Joe Biden is silent generation. The fascinating thing is that this guy, Kurt Mills, yesterday was saying that I think it was Clinton, Bush, and Trump were all born within 60 days of each other or something like that. I don't know. I'll probably get the names wrong. But it's funny to see a guy this old and Gen Z loves him more than anybody else. Take a look at this. Donald Trump has a higher approval rating among young adults than any other age demographic, according to a poll. And I'm honestly not surprised. A Harvard Caps Harris survey of more than 2,000 registered voters showed that 57% approved of the job the Republican did as president. When the results are broken down further, they show that almost 2/3, 64% of voters in Gen Z approved of Trump's job as president. The age range of this demographic means some respondents were children during Trump's time in office from 2017 to 2021. However, the results could be yet another warning sign for President Joe Biden's reelection hopes. In 2020, young voters were crucial in Biden's victory, as Gen Z and millennials supported Biden over Trump by margins about 20%. Yes, but that doesn't matter. They say record-breaking turnout. That doesn't matter because they still don't come out in large numbers. 20% of 50 people is still just 10 people. OK, so you can be like, wow, 20% of this demographic voted. Yeah, but they don't come out in large enough numbers. Retirees, now they come out. The age group with the second highest approval rating of Trump's presidency were respondents aged 55 to 64, followed by age 25 to 34 and 35 to 44. That's really, really fascinating. You'd think millennials would be on the back end, but they are on the back end. You'd think they'd be the bottom. But sure enough, many people are now coming around to Joe Biden. A separate poll released Monday by Axios Generation Lab also showed that Biden is only slightly favored over Trump by voters between ages 18 and 34, with 52% choosing the president and 48% choosing Trump. We don't know enough yet, Neil O'Brien, a political scientist at the University of Oregon, told Axios, but this idea that young people are going to keep populating in the Democratic Party, There's some question marks around that. And they say that they reached out to Trump and Biden's campaign for comment. Whatever, man. And then we have this. It's a short clip. And perhaps this is why the younger generation is now shifting towards Trump, because Joe Biden is broken and he's a liar. I want to play this clip for you. And then, yes, we will get into the what Joe Rogan has to say. What do we have here? Yeah. This is a clip from MAGA War Room that speaks for itself.
I did not share classified information. I did not share it.
With your ghostwriter.
With my ghostwriter. I did not. Guarantee you did not.
We also identified other recorded conversations during which Mr. Biden read classified information aloud to his ghostwriter.
That's just one simple clip from the Robert Hur testimony. I think Gen Z is awake. They're wondering why they're being ripped off. They're wondering why it is they can't afford to live, why they can't have families, why they are working 40 hours a week for minimal pay. And you know what happens? Is the Democrats kept saying things like, you know, we need to raise the minimum wage, things like that. That's why you're not getting paid enough. It's the corporations that are stealing from you. And then one day, some Gen Z kid was like, you just gave a bunch of non-citizens free hotel rooms, free food, debit cards with cash on it. And some of these people are drug dealers and rapists and child traffickers. And I can't even afford a place to live. Yeah. I think that was a big smack in the face to many in Gen Z. That's brutal, too. It's hard to buy a house. I was talking to my ma, and she was talking about the price of homes when she first bought a house and things like that. And I was like, based on the numbers that, you know, she was talking about, you would need to make like $150,000 a year to buy a small, like, suburban house in a city these days. And that's just not a salary that a young person is making these days. I mean, 20-something year olds are not making anywhere near that. How can they afford to buy a home, let alone have a family? Now, sure, it's possible, but the government's got to stop sprinting, printing and spending. See, I mixed them together. Had sprinting. They should stop sprinting as fast as possible towards the Federal Reserve to bail themselves out. We need to end these foreign wars that are wasting our money and allocate them towards the production of goods and services in this country, which will benefit our citizenry, secure our border, and give Gen Z an opportunity to actually inherit the system. Ultimately, though, I think a big problem is that boomers hold a disproportionate amount of wealth, so nobody else can get in. This is the gerontocracy that Kurt Mills was talking about. The average age of Congress, of the House, is 58. This was what someone told us last night on IRL. Could be wrong, but 58. And of the Senate is 65. It's unheard of. The average age of an American is 38 years old. Now, that's crazy. I just turned 38. Wow. So we're the big market demographic, huh? Oh, boy, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Special counsel Robert Hur says he did not exonerate Biden, claims president lied about sharing and locking classified documents. Here we go. Well, my friends, what can we expect in this post from the post-millennial? Elon posts a video of Joe Rogan saying, I'd vote for Trump before I'd vote for Biden. I want to stress this. These things make us feel warm and fuzzy inside. You know, I'm saying all these, I'm whispering sweet nothings into your ears. Gen Z is based, Tim says. It guarantees you nothing. There is likely a shadow campaign happening right now. There is no guarantee that if Donald Trump wins and the Republicans secure the House and the Senate, if they do, that anything positive happens. Seriously. I think Trump is our best bet. No new wars. I will say it. I will scream it to the high heavens. When people are like, how could you possibly vote for Donald Trump? I'm like, no new wars. And they're like, yeah, but he did this. He did that. He did this. He did otherwise. And I was like, No new wars. You want me to tell you about it? You come to me, my friends, and you say, but Donald Trump said, grab him by the pussy. And I'm going to be like, Yeah, no new wars. I literally don't care. Trump could come out and just like literally go on a foul mouth tirade, just snarled faced. That woman is such a disgusting piece of human trash, and just rag in the most vile, despicable ways. And I'd be like, how about that? And you'd be like, but he's so nasty. He's so mean, his tweets. And I'd be like, no new wars. No new wars. And, you know, Dave Smith says, yeah, but a lot of the old ones. And I'm like, what does that mean? Come on, Dave. No, I Dave and I have an understanding in this regard. Of course, for those that don't know, comedian, libertarian guy. I don't think it's fair. I'm not a revolutionary. I'm a reformer. I don't think it's fair to come out and be like, Donald Trump inherited an imperfect system, so it's his fault that that system persisted. The idea that a single man as president is going to revolutionize the entirety of the federal government. I mean, come on. Trump can't just end all of these wars, but he did do a good job in trying to stop them. Not only did we get no new wars, but Donald Trump tries to withdraw our troops from Afghanistan, sets the timeline. Biden screwed that one up. Tries to get our troops out of Syria. They lied to keep them in. Trump very much was saying, we'll sell them weapons, we'll make money, but we are not to be involved and NATO needs to pay their fair share. And I'm like, I'll take it. You know, it's this idea that we're living in a nasty, moldy, rotten house. And every time a new president comes in, they spatter garbage on the walls and they make it worse. And Trump comes in and for the first time, we get a president who is not further destroying the house we live in. And he is actually cleaning a little bit of it up, but having a hard time of it. And by the time he leaves, the way I see it is his libertarians, like, you know, Dave, the way I see it is he's saying, yeah, but a lot of the old wars. And I'm like, so we have these people destroying our home. We elect a guy who comes in and says, I'm going to stop the process of destroying of the destruction of the home. And I'm going to try and clean it a little bit. And you're like, the house was still messy under Trump. And I'm like, but he was cleaning up. You know what I mean? Certainly, there were dishes to be had. There was meals to be had. There was stoves to be used. And so the house, you know, it's not like it was perfect, but it seemed like a generally positive direction. So I say, I don't know what's going to happen, right? I don't know that Trump wins. A lot of these things are whispering sweet nothings, as I would describe it. But Elon Musk just posted this clip, and I will play it for you now.
Well, I would vote for Trump before I'd vote for Biden, just because I think with Biden, like, he's gone. Like, you know he's gone. You're going to be relying on his cabinet, and I knew his cabinet would be this fucking sideshow of diversity, and which is exactly what it is. You can't have those kind of people running a Ben and Jerry's. You certainly can't have those kind of people running the fucking most powerful government the world's ever known. It's nuts. It's nuts.
That's why Joe Rogan is one of the best, because that was wit right there. I know there's no H in the word, but I like saying it the way. You can't have them running a Ben and Jerry's, let alone the most powerful country in the world. Yeah, and that's where we are, and that's where we are. There's a lot of stuff happening in terms of electoral politics this year, and I want to believe that Donald Trump will win. I want to believe that when he does, he will bring down the hammer. I'm not convinced. What I see with Republicans is, it's fascinating. We had this debate last night on the members only show at Timcast IRL. So go to timcast.com, click join us, watch the members only show. Argued pretty debated heavily with Kurt Mills. And my issue is, Republicans don't take strong moral stances. They're terrified. They are terrified to take a strong moral stance. Oh, I don't know why that is. Some do. The MAGA party, which is few in Congress, are very much willing to outright declare their moral worldview, and I respect it. Democrats have taken this extreme moral attack position. That is to say, they will come out and unashamedly say, you should be allowed to get an abortion at the point of birth. And they'll say it to my face on this show. They believe that if a baby is about to be born, the woman should be allowed to kill it. And I'm like, that's crazy. Perhaps you should, Republicans, assert your moral position. Many do. Don't get me wrong. They say Seamus Coghlan, good friend, points out all the time it should be banned nationwide. Absolutely would love to see it banned. I respect that. Maybe it's about time people on the right actually started to assert a moral position instead of offering nothing. What do I mean by that? How about this? Here's a challenge for me. And probably why the show's successful is I am a moderate. I am a centrist. And there is no right wing. It does not exist. There are conservatives who will put on moderate masks, scared that they will lose. Maybe it's to their benefit to a certain degree, because now moderates are certainly siding with them. And fine, fair point. But when we look at Twitter, the example I always give is misgendering policy. Why does X not have a policy that says if you use a pronoun that doesn't align with biological sex, you will be banned? Why not that? Oh, well, that's free speech. Well, then why the inverse? Why will you be banned for not using someone's preferred pronoun? Right? It's weird, isn't it? One side says you should be forced with threat of expulsion to use pronouns that don't align with a person's biological sex. And the other side says, slow down there, Democrats. Perhaps if we had a Republican Party that actually had moral frameworks behind them, we might actually have more victories when it comes to the likes of, you know, Joe Biden. Now, the argument that Kurt had, and perhaps he's correct, is that the Democrats' incessant moralizing, grandstanding, and abuse of the legal system has actually cost them support and is resulting in Republicans winning because they seem to be the more reasonable kind. Maybe. But there is a video that I will, I'm going to record a segment on for later, where two young women are being asked about genders, and one woman says, stop, stop, don't say that on camera. Just stop, stop. Okay, we're going to leave. Some people think the video is fake, but it doesn't matter if it's fake or not, because it represents something that really does happen. A large amount of people in this country support Donald Trump. They won't say it. I know celebrities, professional athletes, musicians who support Trump but refuse to say it publicly. Why? They don't want to get their skulls bashed in by the far left, because Democrats and the far left rule through terror and violence and the abuse of the system. So I tell you this. I will remain reserved, I suppose. Maybe the reason Trump is doing so well is because people are tired of living in terror. They don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to be told what to think and how to act. They don't want to be threatened with violence from Antifa on the far left. So maybe they're going to say, fine, I'll take Donald Trump. Maybe. Or maybe Democrats will once again stage a shadow campaign. And through threats of violence and force and abuse of the system, there will be no accountability. There will be no adjudication. Not a single judge will dare stand up. Not a single member of the Supreme Court. Well, save Clarence Thomas and Alito. They'll say, I don't want to be involved in this, because the far left will threaten them with death. Republicans won't. And so the terror of the left will result in a shadow campaign where Joe Biden somehow manages to win again. Nothing will change. And then the country just erupts in fury. I don't know. Part of me thinks the right needs to actually just come out and start saying, like, here's what we want to happen. They don't do it. And they're so terrified. I love this. You know, I told you guys about how I tweeted two things. It should be illegal to believe in God, and it should be illegal not to believe in God. All right, I wrote, it should be illegal to not believe in God. And then I tweeted on Twitter, and then I tweeted again, believing in God should be illegal. Zero sum. Two contradictory statements. This, in essence, is what I refer to as coloring the water. If someone comes to you and tells you, Tim Pool said it should be illegal if you don't believe in God or something like that, you know that they're being lied to from the far left. Someone selectively chose one tweet and did not actually share the full context, which is, I tweeted a zero-sum contradictory set of statements. The reason being, two things. One, you can see their bias. Two, in the event someone comes to you and says, Tim Pool said this thing, you need only Google search the opposite thing I said, and you can say to them, no, you're wrong. He said the opposite. He said it should be illegal to believe in God. Huh? And then you can show them the inverse. And if you get someone on the right saying, Tim Pool thinks it should be illegal to believe in God, you'd be like, no, he didn't. He said it should be illegal to not believe in God. You can show them the inverse. And that will expose to them the fractured reality they live in. Scott Adams says it's one movie, or I'm sorry, it's one screen with two movies playing. He's correct. Well, I thought, I've done this before, but here's one way to break that, to manifest it perfectly. So that you, when you encounter someone who's watching the blue screen or the red screen, and they truly believe they saw this movie, you can say, I Googled it. He said the opposite. And they're going to say, I don't understand. You know, the Young Turks told me that Tim said this, not this. Like, well, here he tweeted the other thing. And so why are they only showing you one? Or better, you don't even need to explain. You just be like, nah, he said the opposite. You were lied to. Because I said both. It's zero sum. Coloring the water. I don't know ultimately where we end up. I kind of trailed off on that point, but I think that kind of exemplifies where we are in these two different realities. We may be living in this bubble where everything sounds like it's going to be good, but they will engage in their shadow campaign and polls are meaningless. And so my concern is, without the right actually willing to stand up and take a moral position, I guess the point ultimately is this. The reason why I bring that up is that people are terrified of what the left will say about them. They will say something, and then the left will take you out of context and lie about what you said, and the right will panic. Why? Why not just laugh and say the cult members live in a crackpot reality and just keep on keeping on? Why, you know, I'm wondering if Joe Rogan will come out and just say Trump 2024, baby. I have no problem saying it because I have no fear. I do not fear what people ultimately think of me for giving my opinion. I am not concerned that if I give the wrong opinion or come out too strong, it'll cause a negative political impact. I don't care about politics. I care about culture. I will tell you what I think when I think it. I think Donald Trump should win. I think he's got problems. I got the one guy, and he was like, Tim Pool says Trump's bad, but he can't name a single reason why. It's like, that's actually far from the truth. Bad? Okay, an expansion of the drone strike campaign in the Middle East was bad. The removal of the transparency around drone strike reporting numbers was also bad. But while I do see some things are bad with the Trump presidency, it's a net positive. The idea that Trump did no wrong is psychotic. Of course he did. He's imperfect. He's a human being. And you can make the argument about the reason for the increase in drone strikes was so we could pull our troops out while maintaining air superiority, which would eventually allow stability in the region without a U.S. presence. And I can understand that. But I do believe commando raids in Yemen that allegedly killed an 8-year-old American girl. These are bad things. 59 Tomahawk missiles fired into Syria. Not a good thing. You can argue the selling of weapons to Saudi Arabia. Also not a good thing. There are things that Trump did that are not good. Hiring John Bolton. I have no problem telling you that I think these things. And you can say I'm wrong. You're allowed to do it. But what I think we need is, I'd be willing to bet, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Joe's not that guy. I'd be willing to bet behind the scenes, Joe Rogan's like, oh, I'm voting for Trump, no question. He said, I'd vote for Trump before I'd vote for Biden, which is a light way of saying he's going to vote for Trump. And perhaps Joe is scared that if he comes out outright and says, I'm voting for Donald Trump, and here's why, he's scared that it'll ostracize portions of his audience. Maybe. I can't tell you. I don't know. My view is this. I don't know what Joe is thinking. Maybe, you know, Joe's a genuine guy. He's a good dude. So maybe he just, this is the world he lives in, a comedian, not a news guy like me. For me, if I say I'm voting for Trump, so I get someone to go, I can't believe I used to listen to Tim Pool and I just voted for Donald Trump. Bye. I'm not going to lie. If you expected to watch this show or any of my other shows waiting for me to lie to try and pander to a large audience to make more money, you got the wrong show. I won't do it. I'm going to tell you what I think. And I don't know what to expect, but I think Donald Trump is the guy for the job. Here we go, baby. Next segment's coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. Thank you all so much for hanging out. Become a member at timcast.com. Buy Cast Brew Coffee. Mr. Bocas Pumpkin Spice Experience will be retired after this final run. So that means whatever you end up buying of the Mr. Bocas Pumpkin Spice, it will never be available again. As most of you know, Mr. Bocas yesterday passed. He was a good little friend and kitty to the Cast Castle. But, you know, it is what it is. And we were all very sad. We gave him his little funeral. But go to castbrew.com, pick up your coffee, and we'll see y'all at 1 p.m. Valuetainments, Patrick Bet David's company, has hired Chris Cuomo in what I would only describe as one of the worst possible moves imaginable. I have nothing but disdain for this. I am shocked and offended by this. And I'm a fan of Patrick Bet David. We had him on our show in Miami. He's a brilliant guy. He's a good guy. And he's very, very smart. And I respect and appreciate his perspective and the work that he does. Appeared on his show, I think, twice. But this one shocked me. It comes off as a very, very awful and confusing move to make. And I'll tell you why. I won't bury the lead. Chris Cuomo is a liar. Chris Cuomo ran cover for his brother who killed many people in nursing homes in New York. Chris Cuomo faked being in COVID lockdown and admitted it publicly that he faked it. But I could be wrong. I've not seen it addressed. Even when Tucker Carlson sits down with Cuomo, I'm asking, why has this not been addressed? Now, I really don't think Chris Cuomo would ever want to sit down in a room like this because I don't play these games. I will say right now, I did watch one segment with Tucker talking about COVID where he said Chris Cuomo, you know, he didn't respect that Cuomo was in favor of lockdowns and mask mandates and things like this. I don't know that Tucker asked him about faking COVID. I don't know that PBD did. I'm wondering where is, has this been brought up? I've not seen or heard anything from it. Valuetainment, hiring or bringing on Chris Cuomo is a mistake, is a massive mistake, and it strikes at their credibility in a tremendously negative way. I will say this. Look, I'm not interested in watching Chris Cuomo. This man I consider to be evil. I don't see a redemption arc for a person who has done the things that this man has done. Russia collusion lies. Working on CNN. And you know what they say? He hated his job and he hated what he was doing. You still made the choice to do it. Let me read you a bit from Valuetainment. Chris Cuomo joins Valuetainment. They say they're excited to announce that veteran news anchor Chris Cuomo will be joining our media team as a talent partner. He'll become a rotating guest on the PBD's podcast Home Team, bringing two decades of experience and his unique perspective to the table. Let's not forget his deceit and manipulation and willingness to have you die and your freedoms be stripped while he smiles with a multi-million dollar salary. No redemption arc. His new role is a non-cable media contract. Cuomo will still be hosting a show on News Nation and his Chris Cuomo Project podcast. This follows our live event with Cuomo and political commentator Candace Owens this past Friday, as well as his two successful appearances on the podcast. He's best known for his role as host of CNN's Cuomo Primetime. Yes, we know. His illustrious journalistic career speaks for itself. It certainly does. He lied, got people killed, defended his brother when his brother killed people, and sure, how about that? He has interviewed numerous heads of state from Donald Trump to Volodymyr Zelensky, as well as prominent statesmen and political candidates. He has received a number of awards. For what reason? They said, why have we recruited Cuomo? To put it simply, because debate is healthy. If every Home Team episode only featured people who think the same, our listeners lose, even if they agree with the points made. Debate forces our gears to turn in new ways and allows us to learn more about our own beliefs. Just as much as it allows us to learn about the beliefs of others, it can even persuade us to evolve. We value Cuomo for his insights into complex political and social issues across an array of topic areas, which mixes well with Valuetainment's broad content range. If anything makes me want to take all of my Bitcoin and just fuck off to El Salvador, it's shit like this. What is this? What is the point of what we do? Here's the Instagram post. You've certainly got a bunch of people who are for and against it. One commenter on the Instagram post says, this guy talked about Russian collusion for 2 years. I'll pass. Diversity hire. One person said, what's wrong with bringing him on? Because y'all don't like him. This guy's entire career is shilling lies and propaganda. One person said, exactly. I don't get how people love seeing these people to never really face consequences for their actions and continue to get big paychecks. This person then says, he comes off as mostly genuine. He may just think differently. I give you the New York Post, April 14th, 2020. Quote, I hate bullies. Bicyclist verbally attacked by Chris Cuomo fires back. Remember the date, April 14th. Here's a video. This one is 3 years ago. Where's the date on this one? I think I had it on Google. This was, I believe, the 21st. And do they have the date in here? I don't know, whatever. In this story, Chris Cuomo was at a house outside of quarantine. He went into a radio rant on his, I believe it was his XM show, his Sirius XM show, about a loser fat tire biker. So here's what happened. He says, I don't want some loser fat tire biker, he says, oh, Jack has something, being able to pull over and get in my space and talk BS to me. I don't want to hear it. I want to be able to tell you to go to hell, to shut your mouth. I don't get that doing what I do for a living. Me being able to tell you to shut your mouth or I will do you the way you guys do each other. So this man, David, what's his full name? Do they say his full name? Just say only his first name, David, was riding his bike in Long Island. He came across Cuomo and he said, isn't he supposed to be quarantined? But no, Cuomo was out with his family. He was lying. Ladies and gentlemen, Let me go back here. April 21st, 2020. There's the date so you can see it. And you have this from CNN April 20th. This is a week after the news report of this encounter to which Cuomo admitted to on his radio show. Cuomo admitted on his radio show accidentally that he had broken quarantine. And then CNN ran this. Let me.
From the basement.
Let's start it over.
All right, here it is. The official reentry from the basement. Cleared by CDC. A little sweaty. Just worked out. It happens. This is what I've been dreaming of. Literally for weeks.
You mean when you were in Long Island at a property where construction was occurring and you got into it with some guy on his bike? You lied? You lied to the American people? You advocated for authoritarian lockdowns, the stripping away of people's choices and their medical rights, and you pretended to be in quarantine. And when your brother, when Andrew Cuomo murdered, what is the estimate, 15,000 people? You ran cover for him on your show with big old goofy Q-tips. Thanks, Patrick Bet-David. I do not respect this move at all. I was shocked to see it. I can understand interviewing Cuomo. I've said numerous times he'll probably never come on the Culture War podcast or IRL because the first thing I'm going to ask him is about all of this. The first question I have for him is, when your brother killed all those people, did you think that you had a responsibility to tell the world on your CNN show, but were you stopped by the producers? Did you think protecting your brother was more important than the people that he killed? Here's the New York COVID-19 nursing home scandal. I'm not going to blame Chris for the actions his brother took. Andrew Cuomo was the man who killed these people. But Chris Cuomo ran cover for it on his show, laughing and showing giant Q-tips and ha ha ha, brother. Ha ha. And then he advocated for lockdowns. He said, I love it. When he said, who says that, when you protest, you got to be peaceful. And then you got that viral video of the dude eating the ramen where he's like, it's right there in the First Amendment, peaceably assemble. On March 7th, 2020, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo declared a state of emergency after 89 cases have been confirmed in his state. 70 in Westchester County, 12 in New York. On April 9th, Brooklyn's Cobble Hill Health Center asked New York state officials for permission to transfer a resident to the nearly empty Javits Center. They claim it was denied. Cuomo issued an order on March 25th, 2020, that all New York state nursing homes must accept residents that are medically stable. The order further stated that no resident shall be denied readmission or admission to the nursing home solely based on a confirmed or suspected diagnosis of COVID-19. That was in March. It was a month later he faked his quarantine, his lockdown. So Andrew Cuomo instructed, ordered nursing homes not to turn away confirmed COVID-19 patients. The scandal was massive. What do they say? The Associated Press reported on May 21st that over 4,500 patients who were recovering from COVID-19 were sent to New York State nursing homes. The estimated deaths, I believe, according to the corporate press, I mean, this is their own reporting, 15,000 is the high end. And this is Letitia James. I don't even like her. January 20th, 2021, Letitia James issued a report. The New York State Department of Health had undercounted the total deaths from COVID-19 with nursing homes by 50%. In the weeks following this report, the death toll had gone up from 8,500 to 15,000. That's amazing. I don't know, man. Congratulations, PBD. This is disgusting. I don't know. What's it worth? Why? Don't know. Whatever. Differing perspective. Differing perspective is different from a man who faked being in COVID lockdown while advocated for authoritarian lockdowns. Okay, I'll tell you what. If the first thing that Valuetainment does is air a mea culpa, Chris Cuomo comes out begging for forgiveness. He says, please welcome me back into the light. Fine, so be it. But I don't understand this redemption arc attempt. Chris Cuomo trying to get these jobs. In what world would it's just, it's insane to me that they would bring this guy on. Whatever, man. You know, what I was saying earlier about if there's one thing that would make me want to just shut it all down, take my cryptocurrency, oh boy, am I happy now, and just fuck off with all of it. It's shit like this. But whatever, man. We do us. We do what we got to do. And you'll find that some people are just more interested in, I don't know,
sitting on the top of the hill. I know for a fact that the likelihood of Chris Cuomo coming on a show like mine is low, because I will bang on my chair over what he did. And I will say it explicitly. You come on this show, the first thing I ask is how your brother murdered those people, and you answer for it. Tell me I'm wrong. That's fine. I'll ask you why you defended him, why you did those shows with him. I'll ask you why you pretended to be in quarantine. But you know what? He won't do it. He likely will just not come on the show because he's a bad person who doesn't want to experience what it means to get called out in this way. Now, perhaps I am wrong, and he'll say, you know what? I will answer these questions, and I'll apologize for him. And I would accept that. I would. But I just see stuff like this, and it's like, okay, it's an uphill battle, man. It is an uphill battle. And we are beset on all sides by individuals who pretend like they actually care about what's right, but they will sell out in a moment's notice. Why? It's more effective that way. It's fascinating. I love that scene at the end of Watchmen. Or I shouldn't say the scene, but in the comic, the Rorschach. For those that don't know, in the graphic novel, there's a guy who's a superhero. They're mostly mass vigilantes. They don't really have superpowers, except for Dr. Manhattan. He has powers. The bad guy orchestrates a false flag attack to convince the Soviet and Western powers that an alien force is attacking them, and they have to unite the planet. He murders millions of people to do it. After it happens, Rorschach, who is not a particularly good character, refuses to accept the lie. And he says the people must know what really happened. And they say, if you tell the world the truth, you will condemn it to destruction. Because the Cold War. And he says, never compromise, not even in the face of Armageddon. And in his worldview, which is supposed to be a bad one, it's basically to murder millions of people to gain a political outcome you desire is wrong. And the people deserve to know the truth. But if you told them the truth, it could force the world into chaos. So in the end, Dr. Manhattan, he kills Rorschach. But, you know, my view of this is they're the bad guys. They ultimately just capitulate and side with the bad guy. I mean, the logic, simply, if the world realized that Veidt, the character who did this, orchestrated the attack on everyone, it would just result in a unified force against him. He would be the bad guy. Instead of building himself a base and weapons and declaring himself the unified enemy, he created a false flag so the enemy would be someone else and he would bear no responsibility for the murders that he engaged in. Rorschach wanted to tell the world that Veidt killed millions of people for his political ends, so Dr. Manhattan kills him. I believe the people have a right to know. I don't believe that you can just as easily say, but the world will end if you tell them the truth. I disagree. I think a decentralized system is inherently better and typically finds the best case results. An authoritarian machine where someone could kill millions and get away with it seems to make no sense. So I take a look at this. What is the point of the compromise? Why bring on Cuomo? What is to be gained from doing it? Yeah. I have very little trust for Valuetainment and Patrick Bet-David at this point. It is such an egregious, shockingly offensive thing to bring him on. I don't even know what to say. But again, I'll calm down a bit. I'm sure at some point I'll talk to Patrick Bet-David, who I think is brilliant and I respect him. But this is so egregious, so shocking. I never saw this one coming. Maybe he will force Cuomo to actually address these things. That would be a good thing for everybody. I'd like to see that happen. And if that's the case, then I will say, you know, perhaps we can remain calm on the issue and on the news. But for now, the simple idea that they have hired him without addressing the evil this man has engaged in, I find despicable. You want to put up an article saying you've hired the guy? Then start by saying, we know his brother's a murderer and he defended it through his show and tried to cover up, make his brother look good. We know that he faked being in quarantine while advocating for these lockdowns and he's defended far left extremists. Differing points of view? The man lied for a living to strip you of your freedoms and rights while people were dying. And pretended to be in COVID lockdown and lied about it. Remarkable. This man deserves nothing but being the general manager at a local Regal theater or something. Whatever. You do you. I'll leave it there. Next segment is coming up at 6 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. In a video gone viral, Two young women are approached by a man who asks them how many genders there are. This video is getting a massive amount of attention because the girls, well, one girl starts saying there's two and the other girl stops her and says, don't say that on camera. Now, I pose to you this question. Do you believe this video is fake? Many people believe it is fake. I retweeted it. It's got millions of views. It's been reposted in a bunch of different ways. We were talking on Timcast IRL. Shane Cashman said he thinks it looks like a skit. I don't think so. I think it's real. But let me play the video for you, and you can decide, and then we'll talk about the political nature of what we're currently experiencing in this country and why this video matters. The Raymond G. Stanley Jr. tweeted, stop. Don't say that on camera. Young women are scared to say what they really think for fear of the online woke mob. A tiny, tiny, tiny hateful fraction of people have a chokehold on young ladies. It's not a great way to live in a free country. Here's the clip now.
How many genders are there?
I feel like there's two, because like transgender.
No,
Jack,
stop.
Don't say that on camera.
Yeah, but I feel like you either switch from a boy to a girl.
No, stop,
like,
stop,
switch
stop,
back and forth.
Stop. I feel like it doesn't matter. Whatever you want to be, it's fine. It's okay.
Yeah, but I feel like they switch back and forth. Like, I know.
Yeah, but like, it doesn't really matter. Like, there's like, you can be anything you want to be. It doesn't matter. Come on, stop.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Wait, I'm sorry. I want to play that real quick, just one more time.
How many genders are there?
I feel like there's two, because like transgender.
No, stop. Don't say that on camera.
Yeah, but I feel like you either switch from a boy to a girl.
No,
like,
stop.
Switch
stop,
back and forth.
Stop. I feel like it doesn't matter. Whatever you want to be, it's fine. It's okay.
Yeah, but I feel like they switch back and forth. Like, I know.
Yeah, but like, it doesn't really matter. Like, there's like, you can be anything you want to be. It doesn't matter. Come on, stop.
Wait, I'm sorry.
So, possibly fake. I think there's a good argument for why this video is fake, but whatever it is, it represents something that is real in this country. One of the reasons why I think it may be fake are the jump cuts. Why would there be jump cuts? So the edit, it could be very much out of context, which actually is unfortunate because it may be a real interaction, but because of the way they've edited it down to capture this one moment, kind of ruins the actual real nature of what happened. Well, as the story goes, this man's holding up his phone. He asks him how many genders there are. And one girl starts to answer and the other girl says, stop, you can't say that on camera. Why? We know what happens. You will be attacked. You will be targeted. You will lose your job potentially. And so it's a real phenomenon whether or not you believe this video is actually real. Here's what I think. I don't think you're going to find that good of actresses at random. Maybe this dude is friends with these girls and they wanted to do this skit. Entirely possible. You know, in the world of the internet, my friends, it's almost always fake. Like these prank videos, they're fake. There are some prank videos that are real, don't get me wrong, but I gotta tell you, man, if you're gonna go out and film a video and you want to be entertaining, are you really gonna hope that someone's gonna give you the random reaction that will be entertaining? It's not gonna happen. So they have these videos where these dudes would go around and saying like, oh, a nickel. They would pick up a coin off the ground and they would try and say it fast so it sounded like the N-word, and they would do it around black people. Some of these were real. Most of them were fake. In these videos that were on YouTube, and it's ridiculous that they were, it would typically result in the black dudes beating the crap out of the guy who said nickel. And they'd say, what did you just say to me? It'd be like, nothing. I didn't say anything. And then they would just start hitting him. And I'm like, I had a friend show me these videos like, whoa, dude, look at these. And I'm like, bro, these are fake. They're fake. He's like, no way, dude, they're actually hitting him. I'm like, yes, but they planned it. They're friends. No way, dude. He was saying the N-word or something. There was one where he says, my neighbor. Hey, neighbor. Hey, my neighbor. And then the other guy goes, what did you say to me? I'll tell you how you know they're fake. What would actually happen in the real world if you went up and said something like that? I can tell you, because some of them are real. In one video, usually there's like one or two real interactions. There's a guy walking on the street. There's a black guy walking on the street. And then the dude says, what's up, my neighbor? And the guy just goes, what? That's it. I said, what? And that's all that happens. Nothing happens. The black dude walking on the street, he's got a backpack on, and he says, you know, my neighbor. And the guy goes, what did you say? And he was like, eh. And he walks away. And he's like, okay. There's one where they actually are in like kind of insulting the guy in a real interaction 99.9% of the time. You walk down the street and walk up to somebody and say something like that, and they're going to be like, what? I don't know. Like, what's going on? Like, so it's wild to me that you have these dudes where it's like all of a sudden three black guys get up from a chair at a restaurant and start beating up a guy. And I'm like, come on, dude. Like, do you really believe that's what happens? It could, but it's probably rare. The reality is, we know this. These guys will go up to someone, they'll get their friends, and they'll be like, here's what we're going to do, and then you do this, and we're going to film it, and it's going to go viral. And it works, because people are entertained by it. In this instance, maybe that's the reality. This guy got a couple girls that he knew, and he said, I'm going to ask you how many genders there are, and then you start to answer, but you freak out. But like, really? Like, are they great improv? No, I think it's real. I think this is the reality of modern politics in this country, especially for young people. They know you don't say this stuff. And the reason why I think it's real is I've had a similar interaction. This was, go back to 2017 or 2018? I was in Berkeley. Can't believe it's been that long. And I was holding up a camera and I was filming police coming and, you know, like, I forgot what they were doing. I think it was medics, actually. No, it might have been police clearing out a protest. And this woman starts talking and I'm standing there with my camera. And so she says something to me and I respond and I'm filming the whole time. And then the gist of the conversation was a young woman was at a Trump rally supporting Trump or something like this. And she was standing on a street. It was a leftist thing, Antifa. And there was a pro-Trump woman standing on a young woman, college student, standing on a lamppost, like the base of it. They grabbed her and threw her to the ground and cracked her skull or something. And blood was everywhere. And I think she was wearing a Trump shirt or something like that. And so I was like, wow, I can't believe they attacked her for no reason. The woman, who was a progressive, said, maybe she shouldn't have been wearing a Trump shirt. And I said, well, I don't think it's the fault of the person who was attacked. Just, you know. And she says, well, she came here wearing a Trump shirt. What did she think was going to happen? And I said, so do you think it's her fault that she got attacked? And she goes, yeah, I think so. And I was like, because of what she was wearing. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, do you think the same applies to women who get raped? And she was like, I guess, I don't know. That was kind of the gist of it. It's been a long time. The video's on YouTube somewhere. A few minutes, so I said, okay, well, you know, thanks. She walks away. A couple seconds later, she walks back over. She goes, delete that. And I was like, what? She's like, delete the video footage. And I was like, no. She's like, I don't give you permission to record me. And I said, you walked up to me while I was recording and talked to me. She goes, yeah, but I don't give you permission. I'm a nice guy. I blurred her face because I get why. She made an oopsie daisy. She said on camera opinions that fall out of line with the woke mob. You know what that means? It means the next time they see her, they will bash her skull into the ground. And she knew it. That was years ago. So you see a video like this and one girl's like, stop, stop. You can be whatever you want to be. It doesn't matter. Because people live in terror. Because far left extremists will physically attack you. They will beat you and they will not get arrested for it. You look at I mentioned this several times. Actually, we should follow up on the Proud Boys in New York. What happened? When Antifa attacks Proud Boys, the Proud Boys go to jail. Ah, well, they fought back and the Proud Boys cooperated with police and Antifa didn't. These people on the left will wear masks and they will get away with their crimes because the police don't want to go anywhere near it. I think the truth is, for police officers, there's a path of least resistance. The cops know that Antifa will fight and it's going to be bad. So just don't. They know that you, law-abiding citizen, you'll do as you're told. So it's really easy to arrest you. So in the event something happens, who are they going after? You. These young girls know this. That's why they're like, don't say it on camera. You're going to get canceled. They will take your job from you. The one girl says they switch back and forth. Like, the point is, if there is a such thing as transgender, that means there is something to transition to, from and to. They argue because of the spectrum, that means there's an infinite number. Sure, I guess, but there's two in the umbrella, making it binary, as it were. But they argue, no, there's infinite genders. Then what does transgender really mean? In that argument, if one day you want to wear jeans, the next day you want to wear shorts, you've transed your gender. If one day you play with trucks, but the next day you like doing makeup, you've transed your gender. I'm sorry to say this, men. If your wives ever hang a portrait by hammering a nail into the wall, that's carpentry. Rudimentary handiwork. That's male. Therefore, she has transitioned. That makes no sense. So the young girl's right. But think about how scared they are to actually express their opinions in this country. The right has no such inverse reaction. The right has nothing comparable to this. So don't be surprised. So people said maybe it's fake. And I'm like, it could be. The jump cuts are kind of weird. Fine. The idea is real. I don't think you need to fake this stuff because I've had similar interactions, but hey, I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up tonight at 8 p.m. over at youtube.com/TimcastIRL. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you all then.